Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
New Texan safety CJ Gardner-Johnson did an interview. He sat down with the guys on the Pivot Podcast, Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder, Fred Taylor. It looked like they came to Houston to do that because they kept saying CJ Gardner-Johnson kept referring to here when talking about Houston. So
I talked to Fred about this when they were in town during training camp last year, and they just they usually travel to. And usually they'll interview, they probably interviewed somebody else, and the interview will come out in a month or two or so.
Oh, yeah.
So they probably interviewed two or three Texans players. So I don't know who the other guy will be after this.
Sound like they got some work in too, because when they were having that little impromptu conversation after the interview and they were talking about Kalen Bullock and Jalen Petrie, Ryan Clark had said that he worked out with Kalen Bullock the day before. So I wonder if they got some
I don't know, because everybody works out. I've been to all these different places all over, so I don't know,
The day he's in Houston and the day before, it would seem like maybe they did that here, you know.
Right. But I don't know if it was at the facility or just one of the workout places they go to.
Yeah. So C.J. Gardner-Johnson was asked by the guys, why are you no longer – we should point out, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who's been on a different team now, five consecutive seasons. New Orleans, Philly, Detroit, Philly, Houston. Why are you no longer a Philadelphia Eagle?
Why are you now a Houston Texan and not a Philadelphia Eagle?
Scared of a competitor.
You said they're scared of a competitor?
Yeah. Simple as that.
What you mean?
You can't program a dog. Certain dogs, you can't say be a dog and then it's time to go out there. Hey, we need you. Look at the Washington Commanders game. I got kicked out. I was nowhere near the play. Nowhere near the play. Everybody was fed up with me. And I'm like, if you go back to that play, I celebrated with Reed Blankenship. And I'm getting cursed from head to toe on the sideline and looked at Vic even get on me. I'm like, what did I do? So, you know, people in the box, they call down and they're trying to figure out why am I getting kicked. They was trying to reverse the call. Because guys come off the sideline. If you watch that game, the game was already heavily. That's what sparked it. Then we had like a little scrum between at practice. Nothing. It's just offense versus defense. But who's the culprit of it? Me, I guess, because I guess we're competing. When you're telling the period is live, you're telling us not to compete during a live period, but it's a live period. We're competing to get ready for a playoff game. All right, cool. Mm-hmm. It's like little antic things that, okay, so how you want to play football?
Okay. I am excited for these practices.
For a little context here, because a little context on him getting ejected from the Commanders game. Yes, the play in question, I mean, the way C.J. Gardner-Johnson lays it out is almost like somebody, like he got flagged for a hit that he didn't actually commit or something. It was his second unsportsmanlike penalty in the game. The second penalty that he got ejected for was for after that big, after there was a big hit, it was Zach Bond forced the Commanders fumble. And CJ was jawing at the Commanders players. So he got an unsportsmanlike for that. It was his second penalty, so he got ejected. I think it was the second penalty in that quarter. So with CJ Gardner-Johnson, there's this entire interview is really interesting because there were times where he was acknowledging that he's had to learn to dial it back at certain times, but also at the same time adamantly saying that he's never done anything wrong. So there's a balance there. CJ is an emotional player. I think that, and I think he's trying to find that balance between, okay, when do I need to dial back the emotion, but also the emotion is part of what makes me the player that I am. And it just feels like, given that he's been traded so many times and he's spent so many times with different teams, that there's a little bit of an element of like he's a bit much.
Yeah.
You know, and part of that is what makes him a good player.
Yes.
But part of it also can rub people the wrong way at times.
All right, let's skip down here, Ben. This I think plays into the similar narrative here. He told a story from preseason about a practice. This is a story about Saquon Barkley and C.J. Gardner-Johnson that wound up with C.J. Gardner-Johnson getting cussed out by the Eagle coaches?
Okay, you asked me why I'm in Houston. We do a two-minute drill.
Uh-oh.
And Nick say, it's third tempo. This is in, I think, first beginning part of practice, we get our pads. I said, you show, Nick. And Nick say, just throw them up. Sean says, I got you. The first play, guard turn out, shoot a gap. They immediately blow the whistle. Because they know, They were like, oh, no. Hold the D-line. They were O-line say, oh, you want to go hit him, Saquon? He going to shake you? He going to... Saquon said, all right, Chauncey. You got it. We competitive. You got... Because he walked up to me for practice, for camp. Hey, if I break, that's 7 points. If you stop me, that's 6 points. I say, bet. I say, but if I smack you, like, well, if I hit you, like, come on, all right, we just talking. So, because I had Wolf Coast say third tempo. Yeah. Like, what I get for that? He was like, just take care of it, I'm take care of you. They doing how offense do? They do their little gimmicks on 2 minutes. Nick go empty, and I know what's coming. It's Jalen Hurts, quarterback draw. I run straight down the middle. I'm supposed to be in the middle third, run right down the middle. I ain't even hit him, but I got... Drill over defense one, whatever. I got cussed out so bad.
So you got cussed out?
So it was a tempo violation in practice. Yeah. I could see. That's interesting because this is where sometimes an offensive-minded coach versus a defensive-minded head coach, it matters. And I don't know if he would have gotten cussed out by D'Amico.
He might have more latitude here than he did in Philadelphia. Yeah.
Not having been there. He's an habitual line stepper, okay? Mm-hmm. It's always a matter of, there are a lot of habitual line steppers on the Texans defense. I think he's a much better personality fit with, I think, D'Amico as a head coach and D'Amico as a defensive coordinator than perhaps he was with Nick. And now Nick, it's interesting because Nick Sirianni is a more fiery and emotional guy than D'Amico, or at least like kind of out of control emotions.
Off
Sirianni's got out of control
yelling
emotions
at fans
times.
During games.
Yeah, compared to D'Amico. Yeah. D'Amico's very emotional in a good way, but it's always channeled very positively. And then Vic Fangio, likewise, is a defensive coordinator. Vic's always been an interesting one that... You know, sometimes I think in various places he's not a guy that players look at as an embraceable type of guy. So there might have been some friction there. I love Vic, but it's just sometimes there's fits that do and don't work out.
Yeah.
I think if there's a chance for it to work out long term for the first time in C.J. Gardner-Johnson's career, he's got a much better shot of it happening in Houston.
Yeah, I agree.
And that he acknowledged multiple times in this interview that he's had to learn when is it okay to be full C.J. Gardner-Johnson? That you got to be. There's certain times where it's okay to be full C.J. Gardner-Johnson. There's other times where you got to dial it back a little bit.
Yep.
And it also makes sense too that I do think everything that he's tried to do to kind of change the way he operates, it might just be as simple as that in Philadelphia it was time. Even though he's changed, that maybe like when they have to make hard decisions and there's tiebreakers between which veteran player do we keep versus which one do we let go, like CJ was too far behind the sticks in that race to be the guy that they were going to choose to keep.
That makes sense. And if we have new listeners who don't know, Seth played for Vic Fangio for how many years here with the Texans?
5 years.
Four years here. Yeah, yeah. So Seth's got good knowledge as to what the personality types are.
And I saw it on the player. Like, there's certain types of players that, like, Vic just can't. And this was 20 years ago, the Dolphins, it felt similar. The way things played out when Fangio was the Dolphins, it sounded very similar. There's just some players that he just doesn't necessarily connect with.
Yeah.
That I could see D'Amico, and I could see C.J. Gardner-Johnson being one of those guys. Mm-hmm. Whereas with D'Amico, I could see him connecting with C.J. Gardner-Johnson in a different way.
Absolutely. All right, so the Texans have two joint practices coming up during training camp. They will have one here against the Carolina Panthers on August the 14th. Hopefully you got your tickets to that. There will be a second one in Detroit, which makes this even saucier because this is C.J. Gardner-Johnson's former team. 2 years ago, he was a member of the Detroit Lions. So this was C.J. Gardner-Johnson telling stories about joint practices that he's taken part in.
Giants came up there for joint practice. They knew what time it was. They coach said, yeah, we can't. Y'all defense, CD's going crazy. Jamal Agnew, Jacksonville come up there, live practice. For Philly's old coach, he was at Jacksonville.
Peterson.
Doug Peterson.
Doug say, we're going to go live. I hit Lil Agnew. He fumble helmet come off. They stopped joint practice. This is true statement. Dan say we're going to have a live one versus ones in Detroit. Gibby get his issue, but it wasn't on. I hit Jahmyr Gibbs in practice. Coach Shep get me. Everybody going
to Kelvin? Yeah.
They're going crazy because in Detroit, we do Oklahoma drills. So you know how it is up in Detroit, man. Yeah. They knew what time it was. When I told my pick, I felt bad for him, but I was happy for him because I was still there. Mm-hmm. If he had came into himself. Mm-hmm.
Tracy Walker.
Trying to like figure out, okay, I'm like, big bro, you know, like we the older ones. So we got the, when we saw Kirby and Brian go crazy, that's when we were like, all right, mm-hmm. We can't say nothing no more. They got it.
Okay, so he's talking about Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch, and lead into that was like how Brian Branch, who was a rookie at the time when they were doing these, he wasn't sure, like, hey, how do I handle these? And he's going to C.J. Gardner-Johnson for advice on it. It's almost like C.J. Gardner-Johnson was this mad scientist trying to turn Brian Branch into Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And by the end of that training camp, he had turned Brian Branch into Frankenstein.
Yeah. I with C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
It's coming, Kalen Bullock. You're going to be Frankenstein.
I'm about to say something that is usually a bad sign, which is this. Look, people are down on him. It's not like he's ever been arrested or has had legal troubles anything. Seth. Like usually that's an indication that, all right, yeah, whatever the issues are, they're definitely just, they're more interpersonal in football and everything. You point out that, the dude's he seems like a solid citizen. You know, I don't have to worry about him the way some of the Chiefs have to worry, some of the Chiefs players you have to worry about, or God, like the Cowboys, of course. I don't have to worry about him in that regard. He's a good citizen.
Yes.
But in terms of just the way he operates.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
And we host a podcast called The Severance Podcast, where we used to break down every episode of the TV show Severance.
Severance isn't back just yet, but the podcast is.
Each week, we'll discuss the movies, TV shows, and ideas that influence the making of Severance.
We're going to talk to the incredible artists who inspire us to do what we do.
The Severance Podcast returns Thursday, June 26. Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is where a conversation I had with one of our listeners once, who's he was a former Army Ranger. And we were talking about how it's interesting in the military, a lot of times you go from unit to unit, and sometimes you're just a fit in the culture of that unit, and then sometimes you're not. And it's not that it's one way good, one way bad, or whatever. There's just certain cultures where guys fit better. And I think there's a really good chance that CJ's just maybe a better culture fit for D'Amico's defense than he was for Philadelphia and for everything they had going on there. You know, I know C.J. Gardner-Johnson has a good point when the Eagles say that it was a cap casualty, that's an oversimplification, but it was a factor.
Yeah.
And it was in that they paid Saquon. They paid those defensive players. Like they did have to make some, there were going to be cap casualties, but deciding who your cap casualties are, that's the part that gets a little bit more personal with CJ. And I can understand why he felt, you know, like he felt like he was being the type of player that they wanted him to be, and yet at the same time, they don't want him around no more.
Well, and I think along those lines, I don't think we can ignore the fact that the Texans probably took a look at CJ Gardner-Johnson, not just the player and the fit and how productive he was, but looked at his contract. He signed a 3-year, $33 million contract with the Eagles. The Eagles have paid a lot of freight on that contract already. You know, you know, there's a signing bonus involved. Like, C.J. Gardner-Johnson comes at a value financially also to the Texans, I think, for what he brings to the table. So that's just part of it. Text message, did the pivot ask C.J. Gardner-Johnson about his Lions stint? Would think Dan Campbell would embrace him? I don't recall that they asked him specifically about Campbell. What I thought jumped out to me, Seth, about that cut we just played about joint practices, where he talked about, where CJ talked about the joint practice with the Giants. They knew what time it was. The joint practice with the Jags where he knocked off Agnew's head. And then an actual practice with the Lions, with his own team, a team that, as he points out, does the Oklahoma drill at practice. Where whatever it was enough to stop a Dan Campbell practice. Right? There's a certain thing. It's one thing to stop a Mike McDaniel practice. It's another thing to cause something that stops a Dan Campbell practice.
I think it's really interesting. And the one thing that's important to remember is he is 27 years old. And that's where he accurately pointed out when the Eagles try to say, hey, we're going with youth. Okay, this is not an old player. This is not a 31-year-old that's gonna, is in danger of falling off his peak or something. But it's also he's learned some things, and just given by the interview, it does sound like he's put a lot of thought into just exactly what he can and can't do, and when he needs to kind of hold his tongue. And it's not going to be perfect, and it's not going to be beautiful. But you just at the end of the day, he's a really good football player. And he takes the ball away a lot. But the maturation that can happen at age 26 or 27, it happens with a lot of guys. They just kind of dial it back a little bit. And you might see the best version of him you've seen in terms of that balance, hopefully. But it is. He's an emotional dude. He's an emotional dude.
I can't wait. I mean, there's a text message between Aziz and CJ. I cannot, all caps, I cannot wait for this season. This defense is going to be hard hitting. It is. It's going to be fun. Training camp starts a week from today, man. First practice this time next week. We'll be getting ready. We'll be within an hour of the first practice of training camp starting. Should be a whole lot of fun. All right, Payne and Pendergast continuing here on a Wednesday. Hey, let's circle back to last night's All-Star game. Ended in a historic fashion. The swing off, the basically mini home run derby. I put up a Pender poll earlier this morning. I'm just curious. I think people liked it. How much do you like it? Do you like it enough to where you would use this as the way to decide regular season games? What do the people think of this methodology? We'll hit that coming up next.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
The Severance Podcast is back on Thursday, June 26th.
Each week, we talk about the movies and TV shows that influence Severance with the artists who make them.
Follow and listen everywhere you get your podcasts.